Okay, guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm obviously very happy to be here as always. I hope you enjoyed our first episode of the year, which was all about the things that I was taking into 2024, the things that I was standing on, especially those of you who downloaded the playbook as well. The playbook is your opportunity to really celebrate how far you've come before you even start to plan into 2024. It allows you to compare all your progress year on year and start to dream and create a vision and an idea for the future. So if you haven't yet downloaded your playbook, it's not too late to start to think about what 2024 looks like. I am personally in a whole probably like 2 to 3 month 2024 planning. So from January to March is my hibernation, my planning time. So I'm not even outside really anywhere. I am just in my hibernation season, and then it's spring and then I'm out again. So like I said, you don't need to have your whole life sorted out by New Year's Eve in order to have a strong year. I think there's so much space for more exploration, more dreaming, and more celebrating how far you've come. So in this episode, we're going to go back to our roots a little bit. We're going to really delve into some of the questions that you guys have submitted, either in the comments, in DMs, on stories. And if you do have a question, please submit it. Think of it as like not really dilemmas, but any of the questions that you guys have about your own personal growth, self-determination, self-development. And I'm going to help you to answer them. So today we're going to explore three things that you've asked, which is number one, how do you explore that balance between work, ambition, busyness, and actually rest? Number two, how do you maintain and retain strong friendships throughout your life? And number three, how to make decisions that feel wise. How do you be wise? Which I think is just even an interesting question that you've asked anyway, but we're gonna get into it. So I get this question a lot, so I thought it would be good to look at this. And the question is, how do you build and maintain your friendships from a very young age? Were you always deliberate or did it just happen? All your friends seem certain and mature. How lovely, thank you for that question. It's interesting, I'll be really honest. I don't think that I was that deliberate. I think I, especially in the last 2 years, I want to be more intentional and a better friend, which is not easy in how life runs. I think I've been very lucky over the years to just have people around me that reflect my values and my ideals. That said, I have definitely gone through my fair share of friendship breakups. I've gone through realizing that this person is not going to be in my life in the way that I thought they would be. So we're going to talk about all of that, but I actually think that it can be easy sometimes to talk about what the other person has or hasn't done in the friendships that you have. And this is actually going to focus a lot on you because that's the only person you can control. So first of all, I'll tell you that you need to stop comparing. Anybody who wants to nourish really strong, kind, successful friendships, you need to stop comparing. You need to stop comparing your friendships to somebody else's friendships that you see from a distance. You probably need to stop comparing your relationship with one person to their relationship with someone else that you know. You need to understand that every single relationship is different. So you can never say something like, we're close, but they're closer with this other person. Because that comparison, that seed can become an area of resentment. And I've seen that come up in a lot of people. You also need to be able to and be prepared to give what you want. And I think this is a big one. This is why I said don't focus on other people, focus on you, because that's who you can control. I hear so many people be like, my friends aren't vulnerable with me, or no one showed up for me in this and that. And I would just always challenge you to just ensure that you're setting that standard, that you're demonstrating the behaviors that you want to receive. Sometimes they won't be reciprocated, and that's a whole nother topic that we'll get to, or it's a whole nother area of friendship that we'll get to. But just before you start to talk about what's missing, double check that you are the person that's giving that out in the first place. The second very important thing that I'll say is that to have good friendships, you have to value and respect your friendships just as much as you value and respect your partner and your family friendships. People don't talk about this enough, but I think it's a big, big issue in society. And this is why people feel frustrated. Note that I said the same value and respect to those relationships, not necessarily the same type of relationship. People give their partners, their family members so much grace. And sometimes your friend will disappoint you once and you're like, oh, they're cut off, or they do something that you're not happy with. And instead of addressing it and trying to solve it, you move on. And I always ask myself, why do people see their friendships as way more disposable than these other relationships in their life? And I think it's because of that lack of value and respect. So if you're someone who's saying, I want to have better friendships, no one's there for me, I really, really want you to think about, am I actually giving it the same ratings that I'm giving other relationships in my life? And I think this is a really big thing for women as well. We obviously live in a very relationship-centered world. And I see and hear people say things like, why do I need friends when I have siblings? Or my partner, my other half, is my only friend, or the only person that I can trust, or the only person that I tell things to. And it's like, I get it, and I guess I'm happy for you. But the truth is that one person cannot be everything to you. And especially if you're someone who asked this question, you submitted this question and you're like, how do I have better, stronger friendships? It's like, you need to give them the platform. You need to give those relationships the platform they deserve so that they can give you the value that you're looking for. If you don't really rate them because you've isolated yourself, which happens a lot, and I think a lot of us can contend for the fact that sometimes you have a friend or someone you know who gets into a relationship and like falls off the face of the planet. That's, in my book, in my view anyway, that's not okay. Because as a friend of mine who's happily married says, a husband isn't a community. Your community is so much bigger than just a single person. And there's so much beauty in that. There's so much beauty in shared experiences. There's so much beauty in shared dynamics. There's so much beauty in relying on multiple people. Even if, like I said, those relationships have different levels and there's different levels of intensity, you can still give it all the same respect and the same value. There are so many times where I've observed, just looking in the world around me, where things like a relationship ends and then that friend comes back to their friendship group and their friends are like, we've moved on, life has happened, you've not been there, you've missed stuff. Just don't let that be you. It's not worth it. And there isn't a trade-off. There shouldn't be a trade-off between all those relationships. I'm very much a more the merrier person. The more people that I can share my life with, the more people that I think add color to the world and to my world, everyone's welcome. And I respect those dynamics as much as I respect a familial or a relationship dynamic as well. Moving on, you may not like this one, but to have good friendships, you low-key need to take people as they are. Now, I'm not saying you need to entertain bad behavior, but I think all of us can admit that none of us are perfect and we all have flaws. And what I've noticed is that in the people that I've chosen to be friends with, I have observed their flaws or their weaknesses, and I've made a choice to still be there. And I hope they would do the same and give the same grace to me. I've made the choice to say, actually, this particular flaw doesn't completely hurt me. It doesn't ruin my life. It's everybody's human. And all the good things about them far outweigh these minor flaws. Now, deciding what those flaws are, it will depend on you, it'll depend on your boundaries, it'll depend on the stuff that you can actually handle. And it should obviously not be stuff like betrayal and, you know, stabbing you in the back or setting you up and putting you in positions of danger. But I think sometimes we hold people to a standard that even we couldn't reach. So it's important to really look at your friendships and think, is this a flaw that is significant? Or is it a bit benign? Is it something that is a quirk that is, maybe it's annoying or maybe it's not great, but it's not actually going to change the fundamental values that we share? It doesn't put me in danger. It doesn't make me sacrifice who I am. And that's okay. And I think everyone's better for it. I think you enjoy each other more because you've given each other grace. And so much of relationships is about being able to accommodate each other. And that's accommodating people's strengths, people's traumas, people's weaknesses, people's quirks. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have been through experiences, though, where someone's insecurities, let's say, have caused them to lash out at me in ways that were constant, or it has caused them to do something to me in the public square that I would deem unacceptable. And in those cases, for me, my solution is to communicate directly. I'm like, this happened, I'm not happy with it. And depending on their reaction, that dictates what happens next. Now, where the friendship hasn't progressed is where I've realized that I've had this conversation and this person doesn't actually fully understand or agree with the impact of what they've done. That kind of shows me that actually we're on different wavelengths for whatever reason, and this is my time to step back. It doesn't mean that I make anybody feel bad or there's a big argument. It's just a conscious choice. And I think we're smarter and we're more intuitive than we like to portray when it comes to friendships. You feel when the energy just doesn't match. it's not complicated and it's okay to let that go. So I would also say that being able to let go and identify which friendships maybe aren't going to progress to the next level has also helped me identify which friendships should. And it's created more space for the good friendships in my life. The final thing that I'd say on communication specifically in friendships is that you need to also be able to swallow those difficult pills, because you're going to be pulled up. I have been pulled up by friends being like, I didn't like what you did. I'm really unhappy about it. It made me feel a certain way. It made me feel like you weren't my friend. You weren't a good friend to me. And I've listened. You have to hold it. You have to hold that constructive criticism and you can't get upset about it. And I think that's a really important and under-discussed thing, that all relationships kind of hold a mirror up to your inadequacies as well. And a good friend will tell you over time. And you need to be prepared to not be offended, because it's not nice to hear where you've fallen short, period. Like, that's just always going to be a thing. So get ready, brace yourself for honesty, which is not the same as insults or abuse, but get ready for honesty. So another thing I wanted to talk about was wellness habits. There are actually a couple of questions around this topic, so I've kind of merged them into one, which was basically like, how do you find rest and wellness in a busy life as a business owner, as someone who's really ambitious in your corporate career, whatever that may be? And I'm really excited to get into this, because I was that person, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, I was that person who would be working until I was sick at the beginning of my career, when I didn't even have any responsibility, like always working, and just had this whole dynamic of your output is what makes you valuable and what makes you important. So let's get into some of my particular like principles for rest and well-being. And obviously it's normal if there's anything that I've missed or there's anything that you want to go into in a bit more depth, then let me know and I'll add it in future episodes. We're going to be doing a lot more Q&As, either as a whole podcast episode or as add-on to a longer main like body episode. So yeah, I think the first thing in all of this, and I paused because I think it's deep. Like, as I read the verse again, I was like, okay, this is deep. The first thing is anchoring yourself in truth, which sounds very, what does that mean? I'm getting there, don't worry. I want to give you a verse, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. Now, I can say that, I just said that off the top of my head. That is something that I have internalized over probably the last like 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, because I think that our society tells us that to have success in work or to be able to have what you need materially, not materialistically, materially, because we are material, like we live in a material world, you need to be a no days off person. You need to push yourself to the limit. And it sounds kind of not romantic, but it sounds like exciting, because that's what people say, you know, grind, don't stop, all these things. But actually it's extremely tiring. And I think that when I anchor myself in the truth of Proverbs 10:22, I'm like, actually, I don't have to live according to that standard. And I think that's where we sometimes miss the space for rest, because we're rushing around. And I know I've given examples of work, but I actually think this applies to different areas in our lives. Some of us were so preoccupied with serving every single person in our family that life becomes so busy because we're serving and then we're exhausted. It's the same thing. It's where you have got your value, where you have got your wealth, where you have got the things that give you a sense of worth. That will show, wherever that is, will show you where you're spending the most of your time. So you have to start to unpick and unpack where you get your value from, because if you consistently think, well, if I work, then I'm going to have this certain life, or if I'm always serving my family members, then that means I'm good enough. You have to start to really unwind. Why do I think that I'm only good because I'm serving someone, because I'm working? Or why do I only think that my efforts will yield results? All of it's the same thing. It's sometimes, people sometimes divide, and in my view, over-divide work stuff and other stuff, like emotional, family stuff. Whatever the thing is, it all comes from the same roots, which is you work so hard at that place because you kind of worship the altar of productivity or wealth or being seen in a certain way by friends, by family, maybe by your fans, by the public, by your followers, whatever those things are, that's where you continue to spend all your time serving and managing, and you don't have to, because the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. Yes, wealth literally, but also the wealth and the treasures that do not end after this life, right? Because that's like the truth. And I think it's a really interesting one to open with, because I think it then calls into question, how much do you believe this stuff is true? And I know not everyone who listens to this podcast is Christian, but you guys know that I am, and this is how I live my life. And I try to live in a really simple and logical way, which is basically that if I say that I believe this, and this is what the word is saying, then I need to act as if these principles are true. Otherwise, I should just abandon it. Like, it's like a no-brainer to me. So connected to that, I think the other thing is understanding that you're not in the driver's seat of life, that you definitely help steer and direct and you participate in the journey of your life, but actually you're not the ultimate one in control. If we were, we would be able to control how our body is made. We'd be able to control the different things that are unique to us physically, emotionally. We'd be able to control the things that happen in our families. We'll be able to control the people that we encounter and work. We can't control all of those things. We can influence them, but we only influence them based on what has been given to us, right? We can't control it from scratch, right? So I think that should tell you that you're not in the driver's seat of your life. And one of the best ways to remind yourself of that is taking a break. Now, I actually hate it when people tell me to take a break. People will be like, you work so hard, take a break. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Because you see me doing all these things and you think I'm stressed out because maybe that would stress you out. But I'm actually happy. So I don't want to. And I do. I also feel like I do take breaks. Maybe they just don't look like what someone else is saying to me. So I'm not just telling you to like take a break just for the sake of it. What I actually mean by that is that you take a Sabbath and you take a break from the thing that you think is getting you to where you are, right? That's, to me anyway, that's the difference between just take a break, like go on holiday, which I love, by the way, and I'm actually going to talk about like traveling and moving out of your regular space. But taking a break is not just doing something different. Taking a break is unpicking and removing yourself from the thing that you subconsciously, that your humanity thinks is the thing that's driving this, to remind you that you're not in the driver's seat. Let me explain a bit. So an example of that is, let's say you work really passionately, even outside of work hours, to help grow your career, to network, to meet people, to increase your skill set, etc., etc. Taking a Sabbath and taking a break looks like saying, actually, this Saturday, I am not going to do anything that is remotely helping me towards that goal. And normally people will tell you that every day you should be working towards your goal. I don't agree with that. As much as I sometimes do that, I try to have a Sabbath as much as possible, because it disconnects that cycle. So imagine if you work 7 days a week, right? You're then in a cycle of like, I need to work, I need to work, I need to work. How can you ever break out of the mindset that your effort isn't the only thing that contributes to wherever you're trying to go? The minute you break that, and you kind of dive into the gulf of like, okay, I'm not actually doing anything to get me to where I need to be, you realize that, first of all, the world is not going to collapse. You realize that actually things are progressing without me. You realize that I am actually being restored so I can be better tomorrow, and I can have more ideas. I can be more creative, more open-minded, more free. And I think that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons behind a Sabbath. And a reminder that I've realized is like the ultimate version of a Sabbath is fasting. So fasting in a similar way is not a break from work, but it's like a break from one of the things that we do on autopilot. And again, if a Sabbath is breaking a cycle of doing, a fast is obviously breaking the cycle of eating, right? And I find that breaking of the cycle, once again, really, really helpful. So I have been in a fast at the beginning of the year and I'm just finishing it, actually, in a couple of hours. And I have found that when you wake up in the morning, well, when I wake up in the morning, let me speak for myself. When I wake up in the morning, I am an absolute foodie in life. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to eat today? What's for breakfast? Like, that is exciting to me. And even if it's not exciting to you and you're just like, it's the morning, what am I going to fuel my day with? you immediately then think, oh, actually, nothing. The answer is, I'm not fueling myself with anything because I'm actually in a fast. And then your brain's like, okay, so because you're in a fast, well, like, you immediately think of God and you think of, okay, what should I be doing in a fast then? If I'm not spending this time eating, let me actually just be mindful of God. And that thought process is a thought process towards mindfulness. And by the time you get to the part where you're like, okay, I'm actually fasting, why am I doing this? I'm actually doing this because of God. Then you're like, okay, I might as well spend some time with God. Then when you spend some time with God, it pays endless dividends, you know? It is one of those things that grows you, that enriches you, that gives you confidence, that helps you solve problems, that gives you clarity over your day. And then you've set yourself up on this, like, amazing path. And it's the same when you break a fast as well, for the most part, because then you're like, okay, my fast is breaking in 10 minutes. I'm actually going to be mindful. Your brain is immediately like, okay, fast is ending. Actually, I'm going to reflect again. And that cycle of, I'm going to reflect, I'm going to talk to God, I'm going to just really delve into whatever the reason is behind my fast. And then you start again this cycle of spiritual, emotional, mental well-being. So I think that's a really big thing. And I have realized that a Sabbath is a type of fast, I think. At least that I see them working in similar ways in that sense. And I think that can be really helpful. Another example of being able to break that cycle is getting out of the space that you're regularly in. And this is something I actually used to talk about probably in 2018, that human beings, we need space. We need to get out of our physical space so that we have more space, basically. And for me, that looks like travel recently. And I wasn't a big traveler. I always used to get trolled by my siblings that I never go anywhere except for to destination weddings, which is still true. But I actually took a holiday, a very long holiday recently. And I say it was a holiday, but I definitely had an office set up there. I was doing work, like I was working. And the reason I call it a holiday is because I got out of my regular cycle of being. I was in a completely different climate, different temperature. I was in a different culture. I was in a different physical space. And I was speaking to people who lived a slightly different, similar in some senses, but a slightly different life from what I was living in London. And that just renewed my mind. And I think we need that. I know that travel is a luxury. However, I would argue that it actually isn't, because travel can also be going to spend time with someone who lives in the next town. It's just about breaking out of your universe, which is basically what's in your house. It could be taking a staycation somewhere local. It's just taking a break, an extended break, ideally, like more than 5 days, taking that time out and resetting your brain. It's literally transformative. And I know it sounds basic, but I think sometimes we think that there's some like massive complex secret solution to things, and actually the biggest game changers are just our ability to execute the stuff that we know somewhere in the back of our minds, but you know, we just kind of haven't done it because it's easy, it doesn't sound new and sexy, so we kind of just like, we're waiting for the next like hack and trick. And it's like, these are age-old principles, and they've lasted the test of time for a reason. I think the final key to rest is around knowing that some stuff has to drop. And for some of us, that is a scary thought. It's scary to drop people. It's scary to drop certain types of relationships. It's scary to drop some tasks. Because again, this idea of where does our value and where do we think our life comes from? We're like, I can never let go of this project because what does that mean for my business? Or I can never let go of saying yes to this particular person at work because then maybe I won't be seen a certain way. Or I can never let go of saying yes to this family member all the time because what happens, what will they see me as? All those things go back to the fundamental belief that serving that area is the source of your being, and it's not. And I think you can turn your mind and your mindset towards God and say, actually, help, give me the freedom, give me the clarity, give me the boldness, give me the courage to just let go of something. Let the ball drop. You don't have to juggle every single thing. And you actually see that life will go on. Your stakeholders, the people that you're trying to serve, will live. They'll be fine. You'll feel better because you have way less things like pulling at you, draining you. And everything's okay. Because you're not in the driving seat, you're not the center of the universe. So even if you're juggling all these balls and you let one drop, actually the world doesn't end because you're not actually the center of it. You're not the one that keeps all these things running in the first place. And I think that allows you to enjoy freedom of time. It allows you to create more time for yourself. So those are kind of the big things. In terms of other wellness habits, I'd love to know if you are more specific or you're more curious about like my wellness habits in terms of holistic health and things like that. That's a completely different thing. But maybe I'll like write a little summary if enough people are interested in hearing about like what my wellness habits are. I always say to people, like, I'm very holistic, but I also have included non-holistic habits in that because it's a journey. So yeah, I'm green, but I'm not that green. And so yeah, that's that. Okay, final question in this particular episode. But if you have more questions, again, you know where to find me. You can find me on the Take What You Need DMs, and also occasionally when we post on stories when we're asking for topics or questions or dilemmas that you have. So someone just submitted a question which was like, how to be wise, ? Which is so funny because it implies that I'm like wise, and I don't really feel like I'm wiser than anybody else who's listening to this. So what I think is being asked in this question is, how do you get clarity of mind and how do you make better decisions? Because those two things are the common threads I've seen in people that I consider wise. So the first thing I'll say is, you've got to sit. I'm sorry, you've got to sit down and be comfortable with yourself, because so many people are rushing up and down, up and down. When you're at home, the TV's always on, you're watching stuff, you're talking to people, you're on social media. You've got to be able to sit with yourself. And obviously one of the ways that I'd say that is, the best thing to do is like journal, right? To reflect and get to know yourself. It's like one of the perfect ways. People always ask me, how do I journal? And there's no how. It's not an essay, it's not a novel. It's an unfiltered home for your thoughts. Don't worry about, is someone going to read it, blah blah blah, just forget all of that. I mean, make sure you keep it private if you don't want anyone to come across it, but just write your unfiltered thoughts. This isn't a space for lying. If you can't be honest in a book that only you will read and that is how you communicate with God, you're not going to be able to face yourself. And if you can't face yourself in life, if you can't have clarity of thought, then you're not going to be quote unquote wise. Also related to that is that when you sit with yourself, you become really comfortable in your own choices, and you even start to understand what you actually think. You start to break away from what we're told to think through social media, through friends, through society, which we're all told, and you start to have thoughts of your own. But that takes time, and it's not like glamorous, like there's no secret hack here. And a quote that really stuck out to me that I wanted to read about this whole like invest in depth and invest in yourself is this one from John Bevere. So he says, you'll only build as high as you dig deep. We live in a culture obsessed with the seen, but it's the unseen that's powerful. The unseen makes landmark buildings strong. The unseen stabilizes redwood forests. The unseen keeps a structure's integrity intact. A strong foundation is vital for a structure's ability to stand the test with time. And I think that's really important. I think that is a summary of this whole thing. As much as I've got more to discuss, I'm like, that's the top line of it. And it's scary to sit with your thoughts. It's scary to make your own decisions. But if you're able to change the quality of your thinking, then you change the quality of your decision making. And if you change the quality of your decision making, then you're able to change the quality of your life. Finally, I'm going to say something that none of these self-development gurus will ever tell you. Stop looking for advice. I know it sounds crazy, but let me explain. When we look for too much advice, at least one of these two things happen. One, we get analysis paralysis because we've digested so many thoughts and opinions that it kind of makes us freeze and we don't know how to move forward, because when you search for loads of opinions, eventually you find things that conflict. And second of all, sometimes when we're looking for advice, we're trying to find the person that has the exact same journey as us. Otherwise, we struggle to follow what they're saying. So we would say things like, oh well, you have this privilege, so actually I'm not going to listen to what you said, or you don't know what it's like to do X, so I'm not going to listen to that. Now while that's valid to an extent, do you know what consistently checks out every time, what consistently works? The underlying principle. The underlying principle in someone's story, the underlying principle in someone's journey, the way that the world works, you can draw those principles from not even asking a mentor for advice, but even from observing the way someone's life has played out. Because even though the experiences on the surface vary, the underlying principles remain the same. For example, whether it's like cause and effect, or you sow what you reap, or treating people well, or bringing your best self to work and putting your best foot forward, those principles outlive the individual stories that each person has. So look for the hidden but recurring principles in the lives, in the experiences, and the advice of people that you admire, because that's what will change your life forever. And we're done. That was our first Q&A episode of 2024. It was kind of fun, but I want to hear more. I also would love to have some a bit more in-depth in-depth questions. So if you email takewhatyouneedpodcast@ S for Sierra, B for Bravo, M for Mother, creative.com, we get a lot of emails, so we're not always able to respond to every single one, but we read every single one. So send me your questions. Give a bit more info. Give a bit more pizzazz, a bit more detail. It would be great to hear from you, and I hope these helped. As always, subscribe to the podcast, please. Make sure you follow us on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Welcome to all the new subscribers. We've had quite a few over the last like month. And one thing that I love is I love building from scratch. I'm not ashamed to say that we are starting small and we are growing. I celebrate every success and every process. And I'm excited for what this year actually has for this podcast. It's probably going to be 24 episodes because we do it every 2 weeks. So we're 2 episodes down now. So we've got 22 to go. And who knows, we may even increase it to weekly before the end of the year. So have a great day. And let me know what you think about this episode. As always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Take What You Need Podcast. Really easy to remember. So what are you waiting for?